Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And you know what we like to do on It's All About Food. We tune in love. Right now, we're tuning in live, but we're tuning in love. And today is a great day to tune in love because it's Valentine's Day. And on this Valentine's Day, I'm bringing on my Valentine, Gary DiMattei. Hi, Gary. How are you doing today?
Happy Valentine's Day, Karen. Or as I like to say here at Responsible Eating and Living, Happy Vegantine's Day.
Happy Vegantine's Day, everybody.
Because being vegan is all about love, right?
It is.
It's love for all living creatures.
It is. And so let's make Valentine's Day Vegantine's Day. Let's make every day Vegantine's Day.
I think we do that, especially here at Responsible Eating and Living, because we are, in case you're tuning in love for the first time and don't know this, an organization that promotes a plant-based diet, which is a vegan diet, right? Because we just eat plants.
Right.
And things,
of course right.
Of course right. And that reminds me of something else we're doing here in the Silicon Valley, or the Silicon Valley, which is where we are, this Happy Valentine's Day 2017. We're in Montesorino, California, which is not far from Mountain View, California, which is not far from Google. And we were at Google today.
We spent a googly day.
Googling. We did. We got to go to Google and take a tour and ride the Google bikes. And
but the reason why we can bring Google up today is because it was a food day at Google. We were invited to lunch, and they have many cafeterias at Google because their campus just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yes, it is very big and really such a positive energy there.
It is. It's very whimsical.
Yes.
And you see all the primary and secondary.
There was a deli there too. Several.
Primary and secondary colors that are in the Google logo, but you see them highlighted everywhere, and it gives it almost like a preschool, kindergarten kind of feeling to it.
It was really cool. And we rode bikes, which had primary colors all. They were all in different colors. It was really a lot of fun. We went to a restaurant called, now you ready for this? The Kitchen Sink. And sink was spelled S-Y-N-C.
That's right. Kitchen Sink.
I thought that was really
clever.
Very clever. Yeah.
But what a beautiful place. And I kept thinking, why can't all workspaces be like this?
Yeah, it was so cool. And it was very, cool. Google is cool. And my niece works there, which was really neat because I got to see her. And she popped in. But the reason we were there was to visit with a friend of yours, Karen.
Yeah, an old friend, Susan, that I've known since junior high school. But I want to talk a little bit about Kitchen Sink. So when we walked in, there were a number of different stations where chefs and food workers were putting together some really beautiful dishes. And you could see through the glass counters or the glass, what do you call them?
Sneeze guards.
What was available. And then it looked like it was decoration, but they had these beautiful combinations of root vegetables on display and lettuces. It was
sweet potatoes.
Just stunning.
Yeah, it was great. Well, that is a root vegetable, isn't it?
A sweet potato, yes, on most days. So we ended up having a beautiful salad. And I didn't tell you this, Gary, but that salad that we had beets in it. And I've been thinking about red beets a lot. That I bought them, actually. We have them in the refrigerator.
Right, I saw that we bought some.
But I was just feeling a need for beets, and they had this nice green salad with beets. And
hey, you can't beat them.
Ba-dum-bum. And then, of course, when you never know if there will be food to eat, you know that there'll always be hummus, right?
Right. So another vegan option that they had at the Kitchen Sink was hummus. pronounce it, Karen, because you pronounce it.
Hummus. Hummus is hummus.
Yes.
And it was served with an interesting kind of tabbouleh. Do you know what the grain was in that tabbouleh? Was it?
To me, it tasted like quinoa, but it could have been.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was.
It could have been something little and small.
Yeah.
Very tiny. I don't think it was pasta, though.
No,
I think
it was, it was a whole grain. I just wasn't sure what it was.
But it was delicious.
It was very nice.
Lots of mint, and they served it with some crudité and some jicama.
Who knows what jicama is? Raise your hand.
I do.
Well, very good. Why don't you tell us?
No, I don't really know. What is it, Karen?
It's a root vegetable, Gary.
Like a sweet potato.
But the nice thing about jicama...
Jicama.
You find it all the time out here in California, but you really have to look for it if you want to find it in other places.
Right. There's a lot of jicama out here in California.
It's like a little bit bigger than an apple, and it has a dry, tan, light brown skin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you peel it inside, it's off-white. It's like a radish kind of color inside, mm-hmm. white. But you eat it raw. And it's crunchy. You can slice it into sticks, or I think they're great sliced into circles. Instead of eating chips, you can eat jicama and use it for dips and things. It has a really nice crunch. It's juicy.
And if you have a dehydrator, you can slice them real thin and dehydrate them like you would other vegetable chips. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't. Have
oh,
you?
Oh, it's terrific. Yes, I have.
Dehydrated jicama.
Yeah, it's actually one of the chips in the... very popular brand of vegetable chips that are out.
Right. In the different colors.
Yeah.
With the different root vegetables.
Right. I won't plug anybody's product, but I think everybody out there knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And all of the different root vegetables, including sweet potatoes.
Well, another thing I liked was they had these big canisters of water at kitchen sink in the cafeteria we went to, and one of them was filled with lime slices and mint, and they called it spa water.
Right, and cucumber slices too.
Oh,
there
right.
was cucumber slices
yeah,
in there as well.
It was very delicately flavored, and how simple.
Yeah, it was, and the plates that everything was served on were very, very nice, and it was just really, I mean, I couldn't imagine working at a better place. So I'm happy for Susan's husband,
Demon,
who worked there and gave us the tour today.
Yeah, he gave us a tour, and we're walking around inside, and there were these stations. I think he said there had to be one of these snack stations every...
So many feet
or so many people. So if the lunch wasn't enough, which is free for Google employees... There are snacks where they have fresh fruit and some healthy snacks like nuts and seeds and some not so healthy snacks. They had a coffee tea bar.
Right.
And I didn't see it, but somebody was drinking a green smoothie. And
right.
Thimman said that in the mornings they have them too.
Right. And they have all sorts of non-dairy milks for your teas and coffees and... They had Odwalla juice in the cold cases, and it was just really, you know, they really went out of their way to make sure everybody, all dietary restrictions, had something to eat.
What so. I liked about it was it's almost like a vision for the future, which is happening now in the present.
Right. The future is now, Karen.
The future is now. Yeah, but it's a great example of what could be for all.
Yes, yes. And we just, as I said, it just had a very positive feeling when, as soon as we stepped out of the car and walked on campus, it was a very positive, very energized.
Yeah. Now, of course, not everyone can work at Google.
No.
But I hope that more companies catch on and realize when they offer their employees certain benefits, the employees are going to be happier working there. And those benefits include healthy food and then excellent health care, probably good maternity leave, paternity leave, child care, all those benefits that get rid of the stress that's in your life so that you can focus on your job when you're paid to be working.
Right.
And then go home and relax.
And I thought it was interesting, too, because we knew sort of where we were going, but we had to pull up Google Maps to find Google. So
that
was an ironic situation. Let me read you a Valentine. I'm going to be periodically reading some of my favorite Valentines. Here's one from Ernest Hemingway.
We like Ernie.
If my Valentine you won't be, I'll hang myself on your Christmas tree. I thought that was very romantic.
Yes, it's funny because I was just reading my Facebook page and somebody just posted a photograph of some home she was peering into where the Christmas tree was still there with the lights on. Maybe they're waiting to hang themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the joke is you probably better start thinking about taking your Christmas decorations down on Valentine's Day. Or just leave them up. Or your menorah.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
I've got several others that I'll surprise you with. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you are my Valentine.
Yeah. Can we talk about Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day, my Valentine?
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
You've heard me say this before. I love holidays, and I really don't get into the real meaning of any of them.
Right.
I just like celebrating different foods and just having another excuse to make a party. Make a party.
Well, let's say why that's funny to us. Make a party. Because on the West Coast, I was raised by saying you throw a party for someone or you do a party. And on the East Coast, you were raised with...
We make a party.
Make a party.
What do you say, everybody? Do you make a party or do you throw a party? Or do you even not bother and you just go out?
Right. And speaking of going out, a lot of you will be going out to dinner tonight because it's a Tuesday. And who wants to cook on a work day night, right? And it's Valentine's Day and you're probably going to want to go to a restaurant. And if you don't have reservations by now at your favorite restaurant, it might be tough to get in. So if you're faced with having to make your own romantic dinner for two, try a vegan romantic dinner for two. We have lots of terrific recipes at the Responsible Eating and Living website for you to choose from. And one of my favorites is last year we had some friends over and we didn't quite know what to do, so we didn't want to get too fancy because, again, I think it was a Monday night last year, right? It felt like a work night, but maybe it wasn't. Anyway, we roasted some garlic, and Karen made some fresh baguettes.
I remember.
And we made some wonderful little, cut up some fruits and vegetables, and did a chocolate fondue. And we just had a great time, very casual, opened a nice bottle of wine. We opened some Corchabella.
Batar. Did we have the Batar?
I don't know if it was the Batar or Mangrana.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
we have this chocolate fondue recipe. I haven't talked about it in a while, but it's the simplest thing. It's made from cocoa powder, unsweetened cocoa powder. And we always have some of that in the cupboard. Actually, we keep it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And unrefined organic coconut oil.
Right.
And your favorite sugar sweetener. That can be evaporated cane juice. It can be date sugar. It can be anything you like to sweeten. And if you don't even like sugar, you could probably just use dates and end up blending them in there.
Exactly.
But, you just mix the cocoa with the coconut oil and a little water in a saucepan.
So simple.
That's it. And it makes this
terrific,
rich, wonderful chocolate sauce. It thickens if you cool it. And you just dip anything in there and you have a party.
It's fabulous. And we also made a you made your carrot lentil pate, and we put out some olives and just had a wonderful, wonderful time with really some very basic ingredients. Again, roasted garlic is so amazing spread on a fresh baguette.
Can you just briefly describe how you make it?
Yes. So you get a bulb of garlic, and you slice it down about a little more than, I would say, about a third of the way through the bulb on the pointed side of the bulb, not on the stem side. You know, if you hold the bulb of garlic in your hand and turn it over, you see the bottom that's been cut from the stem. You want to make that your base. And you want to cut about, I'd say about, what is that? About 3/4 of an inch?
Maybe a 1/4 inch. You just want to get the sharp tips off of each garlic clove.
And expose the little garlic there. And then get a garlic baker. If you don't have a garlic baker, which is a pottery dish with a lid on it that you bake in your oven, you can just simply put the garlic in a baking dish with a cover on it. Or if you don't have that, you can cover it with some parchment paper and then cover that with foil. And you want to use parchment paper before the foil because you don't want the foil touching the food. And make sure it's an unbleached parchment paper. They sell unbleached parchment paper in some of the higher end grocery stores.
Or you can get it online too. I get it.
Yes. Get it online.
I get everything online like that. I wanted to mention that ceramic garlic roaster that you were talking about. Now, we don't have a lot of extra kitchen gadgets and pots and pans. We've got the basics. And we were given this particular thing, this garlic roaster, from our friend Linda Long, who was kind of purging her apartment of stuff.
Yes. Sure.
And I didn't even know that we needed it, but we have used it so much, and not just for garlic.
No.
You've been so clever.
I use it for everything.
You warm up tortillas
I actually use it for sweet potatoes, too.
No, you don't.
I do. No, I'm not kidding. I put a sweet potato in there and cover it up, and I actually put a sweet potato or a Yukon Gold potato, a couple of them in there, and cover it up with a bulb of garlic, and it's unbelievable. It cooks together. It's fantastic. I recommend doing that when you roast your garlic, is add a potato in with the baker, and it's really good to dip a roasted potato in with roasted garlic. Now, we're talking about food in a very sensual way here because food is very sensual and can be so much fun, especially on Valentine's Day.
Now, back to Valentine's Day.
Okay, anyway, you wanted me to finish the recipe,
okay.
The garlic recipe.
Oh, yeah, right.
So cover it up. Preheat your oven to about 385 Fahrenheit, 400, around there, and bake it for about 30 minutes. Pull it out of the oven and be careful taking the lid off because there's going to be some steam. And if it looks nice and caramelized, if the garlic looks caramelized, it's ready. And you should just be able to press on the sides and it's soft and it just comes popping out. And it's delicious.
Mm.
Yes. So that's
so good. So
good. That's the recipe.
Just
if you want to drizzle a little olive oil on the once you slice off the top of your bulb of garlic, if you want to drizzle a little olive oil on top, you may. But you don't even need to do that because for us, it replaces oil.
I wanted to say when you squeeze out those softened cloves, it's like butter.
It is like butter.
And you just spread it on anything.
It's actually an amazing butter replacement.
Oh my goodness!
And it's so good for you.
Just garlic.
And now a lot of people think, well, no, I shouldn't have it because, you know, my breath will smell and it's Valentine's Day. And that's the catch. If you roast it, all of that offensive odor goes away and only the good, beautiful.
And if everybody's having garlic, well, then you all taste and smell the same.
If everybody's having garlic and red wine, which is, and a little.
Nobody cares.
A little bread. It's great.
Yeah. I just want to finish about Valentine's Day. So we were talking about Valentine's Day and what it means and celebrating. And I want to celebrate love every day.
Yes.
And Valentine's Day, it's just one of those made-up Hallmark card kind of holidays.
Yes, it's very true. I was And it's funny that you should say that, because one of the other things we're doing here is we're visiting my dad, who is 91 years old, and he wanted to buy a Valentine card for a friend tonight. So we walked into a Walgreens drugstore, and it was packed with people buying Valentine cards and Valentine hearts and stuffed animals and all of these really, they were just extravagant boxes of candy that they had on display. And I just thought how sad it was. It felt really sad that they were all there the night before Valentine's Day with this desperate look on their faces.
Yes, oh my God, it's the last minute, like, and I better get something, otherwise I'll be in the doghouse or something,
and
you know?
That's what I was going to say. And oddly enough, 90% of the people at Walgreens were middle-aged men with their kids. Bringing their kids along to buy these last-minute gifts for, obviously, for mom.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
It was almost a, I got this very negative energy feeling.
You know, it's okay if you want to celebrate Valentine's Day and buy something special for the one that you love, but I hope that you're doing it regularly and not just once a year on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It should come when you're moved to do it.
It was kind of depressing.
But speaking of boxes of chocolate,
yes,
I happen to have gotten a box of chocolate a couple of days ago from my Valentine.
Yes, you did. It's a great chocolate too, isn't it?
Yes. So we were at our favorite restaurant here in San Jose. I call it our home away from home, the Vegetarian House.
Yeah, it's such
and,
a great restaurant.
If you've read our blog, What Vegans Eat, you'll see how often we go there when we're in California, and we always get the same two dishes, and sometimes we'll be a little adventurous and order something different. But after we had had our dinner there, you surprised me. You said you were going to the bathroom and you came back with a box of chocolates because they sell Sajox chocolate. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's spelled S-J-A-A-K. And they're actually manufactured not far from here. They're in Petaluma, California. They make organic chocolates. I first discovered them around Easter time when I wanted to get Gary some Easter candy. There's another holiday.
Right.
That means absolutely nothing to me.
Or to me.
But I just thought it would be fun. And they had some great vegan, organic chocolate selections. And now they've got their chocolate boxes wrapped in shiny red foil with a bow.
Yeah.
And they're really yummy. And they're organic.
Yes. And life is not like a box of chocolates if you buy Sajax, because you know exactly what you're going to get when you buy it. You're not going to get it chocolate, poison chocolate. You're going to get organic chocolate. You're going to get vegan chocolate. I'm certain that it's also fair trade. But let's see. Our cocoa ingredients from Rainforest Alliance certified farms is grown in ways that benefit farm families, wildlife, and the environment. To learn more about Rainforest Alliance, visit rainforestalliance.org. And that's the other thing that's really important when you're making your purchases that I don't think anyone was aware of tonight when I was at Walgreens buying my dad's Valentine card for his friend, was that I don't think anybody cared where the stuff came from or what they were putting into their bodies. And that's that's alarming.
Sad thing about chocolate, and we've talked about this a number of times, is how many of the conventional brands of chocolate use cocoa beans that are harvested by child slaves.
Yes, and we did a wonderful program, Karen's In-Depth Report on Chocolate, called, what did you call it? It
was The Chocolate Report.
The Chocolate Report, right.
Yeah.
And it's at responsibleeatingandliving.com, and just put in the search bar, The Chocolate Report, and
it's way down at the bottom of the homepage. It's pretty easy to find.
It's very easy to find, yeah. So go to the homepage and scroll down to the bottom to The Chocolate Report and give it a look.
It just seems sad and ironic
Yes.
That we're giving someone that we love, we're expressing our love, our compassion, our kindness with a box of chocolates. And when you find out where they come from, all of the pain and suffering and agony and cruelty that's
yes.
underneath them.
People really need to start connecting the dots more, especially now. Start now. Start on Valentine's Day. Understand where this stuff comes from. And you're putting it into your body, or you're putting it into a loved one. You're giving it to a loved one for them to put into their bodies. Make sure that they know what the long-term effect is going to be.
Okay, while
the short-term
while we're on the subject of chocolate.
Yes.
I want to talk about another chocolate product.
Yes.
And I don't know if this particular product is available around the country in grocery stores or not, but I think you can get it online. It's called Cococo, C-A-C-O-C-O. It's a drinking chocolate, and it comes in four flavors. They actually make it out here in Santa Cruz, California.
Yay, and, Santa Cruz.
Yay.
Keep Santa Cruz weird, please.
And it's a hot chocolate drink. And what I love about it is it's not very sweet. It's not sweet at all. It has a little bit of coconut sugar in it. But let me read you the ingredients of this particular one. We were just given this box by one of the co-producers of the Fiddler production that we're involved with.
Katie Darcy, thank you.
Thank you. It's made from unroasted cacao, coconut crystal sugar, both of these are organic cacao butter, macuna seed, organic, Himalayan salt, rhodiola root, organic, reishi extract, organic, habanero, organic, and
delicious.
It's so good. And these, all of these foods, macuna seed, so good for you, reishi extract. It's,
Do you know what a reishi is? What is reishi?
It's a mushroom.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm drinking mushrooms.
Oh, don't let them know. There's mushroom in this cocoa powder.
That's the second time this has happened to me. Maybe something is going on here. Maybe I'm changing finally.
I wasn't going to tell you.
Keep going, and then I'll tell my other mushroom story.
Gary doesn't like mushrooms.
It's about food. Well, I'm going to tell you about my other mushroom story. But finish with this Cococo, because this Cococo drinking chocolate, it's amazing.
Well, you know, it's another sensual product. So it has habanero in it. It's not really spicy and hot, but what happens is you sip this chocolate and you get the chocolate flavor, and then the flavor kind of moves along to the back of your tongue, and then you feel the heat of the habanero.
Yeah, it's so good. It reminds me of that movie, if you've seen it, Chocolat, with Johnny Depp and Juliette Binoche, and so many other great actors are in that film. But it reminds me of what that chocolate that she makes everybody tastes like. She puts a touch of chili in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very sexy, very sexy. And we're talking about Valentine's Day, so make sure the food that you're eating is also very sexy.
So I'm thinking a lot of people like coffee, and they drink coffee to wake them up. When we tried this Cococo the other day, we had it in the afternoon, and then we went off to rehearsal, and wow!
Yeah, we were fine.
Yeah, it was a major, major energy boost.
Right, we were a little tired before we had the Cococo, and we got Cococo.
But I think part of it is because there are actually some things in here that have some good nutrition.
I think so. I didn't feel... You know how sometimes after you drink hot chocolate, you feel kind of crummy afterwards?
Yeah.
I felt great afterwards.
Yeah, anyway.
It all went to the right place. Okay, my other mushroom story. Unbeknownst to me, if you read our blog, Karen's blog, you know that sometimes we go to a place when we're in California, and it's called the Veggie Grill. And it's a vegan fast food place. It's a step up from fast food, actually.
I've been kind of disappointed with it for a while until this last week.
And sometimes we splurge and we go to Veggie Grill and we'll get a burger, or I usually get the B-Wing salad, which is an imitation chicken that's been run through buffalo sauce and put on a bed of lettuce. And it's, you know, if you ever have a hankering for buffalo wings and you're a vegan, try the bee wing salad or the it's another one they have called a bomber burger, and it's like a meat analog chicken breast with buffalo wing sauce
on it. Like Gardein or something.
Gardein,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Karen had tried this. What was the name of the burger?
Quinoa and veg burger, and I got the bad boy style, which meant it came with vegan mayo and the spicy chow cheese.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this burger that looks like...
like a burger.
Like a burger. And
There's a lot of sloppy goo all over it.
I took a bite, and I loved it, and we went the next night after rehearsal as well, and so I got it, and I really enjoyed it. Well, I come to find out, I asked Karen today, what are the ingredients of this burger? Now, for those of you who've listened to the show before when I've been on, you might or might not know that I really, since birth, I do not like mushrooms. Well, this burger has mushrooms in it, and I didn't even know.
What was in this burger?
What was in this quinoa burger?
Well, let's see. If we go to What Vegans Eat.
Yeah, let's go to What Vegans Eat. Day.
Let's see.
There it is.
This day.
Day 730.
Day 729 and 730. I put the ingredients in here.
And you also put the cacao chocolate.
Cacao stuff, yep. So it's scratch made of organic quinoa and kale and mushrooms.
Mushrooms, I did not know that.
And then it comes with spicy tomato chow cheese. That's C-H-A-O, made by the Field Roast Company. We like that. For a store-bought vegan cheese, it's pretty good. House pickled onions, arugula, veg mayo, cilantro pesto, caramelized onions, pickled jalapenos, and sriracha sauce.
Yeah. So if you're near a veggie grill and you can't get reservations to your favorite restaurant, go to Veggie Grill for Valentine's Day. It's, like I said, it's got that kind of upscale fast food environment. You walk up to the counter, you give your order, they give you a number, and they serve you your food. It could be really kind of a romantic evening.
Yeah, we had a romantic evening there the other day.
Yeah, it was great. Two nights in a row.
I got
Fork
and knife barbecued mushroom sandwich with cremini mushrooms, house-made barbecued sauce, kale, cabbage slaw, crispy onion rings. I'm underlying onion rings. How often as vegans do we get to eat onion rings? Not very often, and they have them at the Veggie Grill, and they were good.
Yeah. So if you were to go out to your favorite vegan restaurant anywhere in the world for Valentine's Day, and you were going to invite me to come along, where would you go?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we are, if we have the time, we're going to be going to the New Millennium.
The New Millennium here on the West Coast.
I think it's still called the Millennium, not the New Millennium. But
right.
It moved from San Francisco to Oakland, and we're supposed to be going there in a couple of weeks. That might be where I would go.
If you're on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. And you've been to a lot of vegan restaurants.
There's so many I haven't been to now because it's exploding.
Yeah, there's so many.
There's that one in Philadelphia that we haven't been to.
Right.
That's hard to say. I mean, of course, there's always any of the Candles. So we're always happy.
Definitely.
Here.
I would go to Candle 79. If you're in Manhattan, go to Candle 79 for Valentine's Day. That's where I would go.
Yeah.
That's my favorite spot to go for fine dining, vegan stuff. But I haven't tried Dirt Candy, and I haven't tried some of these other spots. But I think it's the atmosphere. It's really a beautiful place, and I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we've been here in California, we've been preparing food as much as we can in the space that we have. We have this little efficiency kitchen. We're staying in a pool house, and it gets kind of challenging.
Right.
But we're making the most of it.
And we don't use a microwave. We don't own a microwave, but we have a microwave here at the pool house, so it's been kind of interesting to flex that muscle that we haven't used in a long time. And
that's right. We don't use it very often, though.
No.
But because we only have a few pots, it comes in handy.
Right. And it's a challenge that I think we keep. Yeah, we could go up to the main house and bring down more pots. My sister-in-law and brother don't mind what we do. We could actually cook in the big kitchen, but I think we keep trying to challenge ourselves to see what amazing dishes we can come up with in this little efficiency kitchen.
And we have.
Yeah, we've come up with some great.
We have. So, you know, on the subject of Valentine's Day, because it's Valentine's Day, one of the things people like is a special breakfast.
Right.
And it's usually classic brunchy sort of items. We have a recipe for a eggless Benedict Arnold, you like to call it.
No eggs, Benedict Arnold. Yes, and we have a vegan hollandaise that you go to the Responsible Eating and Living website and Google. put in the search bar hollandaise, and you'll come up with a Transition Kitchen episode that has yours truly showing you how to make probably the quickest and tastiest hollandaise you'll ever make.
It's very rich.
In a blender, and it's vegan, and you can pour that over your favorite grilled veggie meats or grilled tofu and put it on an English muffin or some of your favorite. We used an English muffin, and it was a gluten-free English muffin made by the same folks that make the tortillas that we use.
Ezekiel?
Ezekiel. Yeah, they have an Ezekiel English muffin.
Oh,
it's
right.
A sprouted grain English muffin. And delicious. I just grilled a little tofu. Now, if you're afraid of tofu, don't be. There's also another great report on
The soy story.
Responsible Eating and Living website called The Soy Story. There's a lot of myths about soy. You just want to dispel all those myths and watch this in-depth reporting by Karen Hartglass on soy, where she busts the myths about soy.
Yeah.
So I grill a little tofu and put it on a toasted sprouted grain English muffin, and I pour some of this vegan hollandaise over it. And I even get I marinate a couple of tomato, sun-dried tomatoes, and I pound them like you would put them between a couple of pieces of paper and pound it paper thin, so that instead of using another veggie meat, I actually use a pounded paper thin. It's like, it almost comes out like a piece of prosciutto.
Oh, it's good.
And I lay that on the English muffin before I put the grilled tofu, and I smother it with a little of this vegan hollandaise, and it's great. But again, it's a work day. Now, I'm sure many of you have to go to work tomorrow. So
I came up with a recipe just the other day here in this tiny little space that we're in. It's a simple tofu scramble in a light Dijon cream.
It was very good.
And I think it's simple, but has a...
It was delicious.
It has a richness to it.
Yeah, you use tofu again, and you use the red onion and some kale stalks. Sometimes you strip the kale off of the stalk, and you've got the stalk, and you're wondering, well, you can juice that. But what Karen likes to do is chop it really finely and sauté it a little bit with some kale leaves. And it was really good, Karen.
But the secret was the sauce. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing to it. Just Dijon mustard, a couple of teaspoons.
And some non-dairy.
Some nutritional yeast. I think I used 2 or 3 tablespoons. But not 2 tablespoons of mustard. Sorry about that. And a couple of tablespoons, 2 to 3 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. Put it together in a little bowl with about 1/4 cup of non-dairy milk. Beat it together. And there it was.
It was
this
delicious.
This Dijon cream sauce. And I mixed it in with the scramble.
Really, really good. Okay, I have another quote here.
Oh, quote time. It's quote time. Valentine's Day. Quote time.
And this is kind of a fun one. So this is two people talking, and this is a quote by Adam Young. And he says, "Will you be my Valentine?"
And she says, "Dolphinately."
Whale and dolphin.
Okay.
That's Adam.
Boing, 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 boing,
boing.
You got another one, Gary?
Oh, there's a million. I got a million of them, Karen. Okay, let's see. Well, here's one that I think is pretty neat. Lawrence Durrell. "And I saw her as a sad 30th child of Valentine that fell, not as Lucifer rebelling against God, but because she too passionately wanted to be united with him. All things in excess become sin.
It's kind of dark.
You guys mull that over out there in podcast land and let us know what you think.
Very dark.
Yeah. And if you have your favorite quote, sometimes it's fun to write it on a piece of paper and give it to that someone special instead of a card. You know, make your own card.
Speaking of cards and making cards, I remember probably back in like second or third grade, where we all made our own cards and we gave them to other people in the class and everybody got cards. And here it is, like 40, 50 years later, and I still remember it. It was such a special thing. Yeah.
How wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Making cards.
I remember we used to have to do that in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Give everybody a Valentine.
Yeah.
It was torture. It was like one of the most stressful times of my life. I can remember just having this horrible feeling in my stomach, having to not only having to give people cards, but then in those days, you didn't get a card from everyone. It wasn't like, you know.
It's politically correct.
Now it's politically correct, but then it's like you only gave a card to someone that you liked or was, you know, and so you were always there having that pressure thinking, am I going to get any Valentines in my envelope?
Oh.
Yeah. I won't say whether or not I did, but because I'm sitting next to the greatest Valentine in the world. But
thank you, Gary.
Suffice it to say, I didn't get that many.
And you remember.
Yeah. And it was a long time ago. Yeah, torture. But I guess it's better now that everybody gets one. Well, I mean, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But, you know.
Yeah.
So far, it's politically correct. May not be in the next couple of months.
You know, for the last 2 months, I've gotten a little bit political on this program.
Yes, let's talk about that.
And
even though it's all about food, let's talk about...
It's all about food and it's all about love, but it's important to keep abreast of what's going on and what's going on right now with the United States federal government is, I think, scarier than it's ever been in my lifetime.
Right. It's very scary. I agree with you. I'm right there with you.
And when we're talking about tuning in love and focusing on love and being kind to the people we care about, and then you hear about a mom who's deported because she's not a citizen and she's separated from her children who were born in this country who are citizens.
It's a catastrophe.
It is. We have to talk about it, even on programs that are about food.
Right. Well, I mean, and
because it's related to food.
Yeah.
Is it not?
It is.
Gary
There's a story. There was a story in the New York Times, I think. Was it the Times? About the fear that's going all on now in all walks of life, and the farming community is no exception, and people are leaving, and there's no one left to work on the farms in places.
Many of the people who harvest the food on our farms here in the United States are migrant workers,
right,
who come up from Mexico and other Latin American countries during the harvest period to make some money.
Right.
And they harvest the food and some go back and some stay here illegally, but they are doing the work. And without them, there aren't many people
willing to do
this work. It's hard. It's backbreaking work.
Well, my father, I grew up on a cherry orchard here in California, and my father was a farmer before they started selling all the farms to make way for urban sprawl. And it's back-breaking work, and he worked with his back his whole life on the farm, and after that, hauling furniture. So, and not a whole lot of people want to do that anymore. They want to do other things like work for Google or, ride a Google bike. And so
unfortunately, the things we're seeing with this government are having an impact, an immediate impact, and none of it is really being thought through. So if you want to remove people who aren't here legally...
Some say that's part of the plan, though, Karen, that they're not thinking it through. They're just...
Intentionally
creating chaos, because chaos is how they're going to get the bigger agenda that they have that no one seems to be paying attention to through without anyone knowing it. And that question remains, well, what is that? So, and again, I mean, this is all about food and not about politics, but...
So back to the farms, there was one or a few farms being reported on where it was time to harvest tomatoes, I think.
It was down south, and wasn't it Alabama?
Yeah.
Alabama, yeah.
And so many of the people that do the harvesting are not citizens, and they were afraid, and they just disappeared. They didn't have anybody to harvest the food. And so it's rotting. The farmers are losing money, and our food prices as a result are going to go up.
Yes. Skyrocket.
Yeah, if there will even be enough.
And so what does that mean? The big farms, the food will rot in the fields, so that means the small independent farmers will be relied on more heavily to service all of us with fruits and vegetables. And
which is why if you have any land at all, even if it's small, growing food, having a garden is a good idea.
Yes.
Now more than ever.
And putting it up, canning. There's a big upswing in the canning, home canning world, where you can can all of the... Yeah, you can can. Well, I mean, we've been here, what, a few weeks now? How many?
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
5 weeks.
And oranges grow here all year long. And so we've been getting big, giant bags of oranges. Now, that's just one tree that produces so many oranges. What do you do with all of those oranges? You give them to friends, you give them to family, but then what? Can them. Right? Peel them, put them in some sort of brine of some sort. Oranges, I don't know how you would put those up.
Make marmalade.
You would make marmalade?
Mm-hmm.
Or you would section off the oranges, and remember we had the grapefruits?
Yeah, sitting in the water.
Sitting in the water. So anyway, you should look into canning, growing your own food. And canning, if you can.
Canning,
if you can, can.
Yeah, but it's hard.
Yes.
In this world where everybody's wrapped up with their jobs and their families, there never seems to be enough time. And we talk about finding your kitchen and making more food at home. And then growing your food. Who's got the time to do all of that?
Oh, make the time. You're worth it, as Karen Hartglass would say. Here's some great ideas for Valentine's Day. Are you ready? Go to the Responsible Eating and Living website and click on Valentine's Day.
Oh, look at that. We have a category, Day, with recipes for Valentine's Day. I didn't even know that.
The carrot lentil pate that we made last year. It's fabulous, and it's very simple.
Oh, my God. It is so simple. It's just made from just regular ingredients, lentils and carrots. And what else is in there? Some
tapioca flour, an onion, grated, a couple of cloves of garlic, herbe de Provence.
Sunflower seeds. You know how I created that recipe? I was making carrot lentil soup, which is one of my favorite soups because it's so fast, so easy. And then I thought, maybe I could take these same ingredients and use less water and make a pate out of them instead of a soup. Et voila, There's the pate. Great.
The other pates that are vegetable pates that we've done here and that you've heard about, I'm sure, countless times on this program, is the string bean, walnut, and onion pate that you call...
Vegan chopped liver.
You call your mom's chopped liver.
Yeah.
Another great recipe for Valentine's Day dessert is just the simple poached pear that you do with raspberry coulis. Tell us how you do that, Karen. That's really very simple.
I do
and
it the simplest way. There are recipes out there for poached pears, and mine is the easiest. Start with organic pears. That way you don't have to peel them. Now, some fresh French chefs may sniff and snort at not peeling the pear, but if it's organic, the skin is very nutritious, and when you cook it, the skin becomes soft and buttery, just like the inside. You don't even realize it's there. So I just core the bottom. I scoop the bottom out and get the seeds, and then I typically take four of them and put them in a medium-sized saucepan. I fill it with about an inch of water and cover it, mm-hmm. and turn the heat up, let it boil, and then turn it down, simmered, covered,
for
20 minutes, 25 minutes.
And not even.
It goes really fast.
And it's about 15 minutes.
15 minutes. And then I'll make a coulis, either out of raspberries or strawberries. I take a bag of frozen berries, put it in a saucepan, turn the heat up, and I don't even like to add water. I just stir them until they dissolve themselves.
They defrost, yeah.
And
right in the pan.
If they you can smash them in the saucepan, or you could put them in a blender to make it even smoother, and you pour that on top of your pear, and it's elegant.
And delicious.
Delicious. And it's just pears and berries.
Yeah. And if you want, you can drizzle a little of the...
Chocolate sauce
over it.
Oh, yeah. That's
great,
good.
There's a great chocolate sauce recipe that we also have, which I don't know if it... Is it the same as the chocolate fondue? No.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Is that
yep.
it? Yeah. So the chocolate sauce icing / fondue...
It's just
3/4 cups cocoa, 6 tablespoons to 12 tablespoons of sugar, depending on how sweet you like it. 3 tablespoons coconut oil, 3/4 cups water. And in the medium saucepan, you take it away. There's even a video, an instructional video with Karen showing you how to make it. So no excuses this Valentine's Day. You can do some very decadent things.
With simple ingredients.
With simple ingredients in no time at all when you get home from work. We have a homemade tofu and chocolate mousse that's very simple. Flourless chocolate cake is a little more involved, but it's...
Not really.
It's delicious.
It is good.
Of course, there's our favorite Valentine's Day pancakes where you make them...
You just make them in the shape of a heart. And there's two ways to do that. We've got lots of pancake recipes, and they're all gluten-free, and they're all good. But you can use a heart-shaped mold where you oil the outside of the mold. A lot of these are Teflon-coated, so they're not the most environmentally or healthfully friendly.
Right.
But they do make a nice heart shape. But I think it's easy just to spoon the batter out on the frying pan.
Yes.
In 2 spoonfuls. Up against each other, and you make a heart that way.
Right.
Without a mold. And it's just fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's just fun.
And what if you're alone on Valentine's Day and you don't really know what to do and you say, yeah, this is all great, but I'm by myself. Well, this is the best time for you to fall in love with yourself and really treat yourself to some of these great recipes that are not going to harm you, that are going to take care of you, that are going to nourish you, that are going to nourish your body and your cells. And going vegan is one of the greatest gifts you could ever give yourself.
That's a very sweet thought, Gary. Thank you.
Oh, it is.
So whether you're making dinner for someone else or for yourself.
Yeah. It's such a great way to celebrate you, celebrate your life and how the life around you is also very precious. And you're not only loving yourself, but you're loving every living thing on the planet. And just by what you put in your mouth.
Beautiful.
So we're sending out love right now to all of you. We're tuning in love and we're sending it out and wishing you a very happy Valentine's Day. And
yeah. And so,
and that's all that we have time for, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another quote.
Another quote.
I'm so excited for Valentine's Day. All the chocolate is going to be on sale.
Right. So buy your chocolate tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is Karen Hartglass with Gary DeMattei. Remember, have a very delicious week. Thank you.